we're about to hear is with Janet Warm Jones Grant. Present name, last name Grant, but she was one of the Warm or Worm children who was born in 1929 here in Grand Haven. As a matter of fact, as she will relate, she was born at the Hatt Memorial Hospital in Grand Haven. Lived all of her life on Lake Michigan, and it was her father, Harold Warm, who, as you will learn, owned most of the property out along Lake Michigan, from the pier all the way north to what is now Hoffmaster Park, and through the years developed it, and with many, many struggles, as you will learn. But it's a very fascinating story of how summer life, as we know it today, had a very rough beginning back in the 20s. Harold Warm is a person that I knew personally. He was a very affable, engaging person. And Janet's story of her father and her parents and her brother and sister is a very fascinating story. Her husband, Bill Grant, will be heard in the background occasionally too, but let's pick up the interview at this point.
Oh, that's a Camp Walker
interview. It sure is.
My Aunt Virginia was back here.
Oh, is that right?
That's sure. Isn't that great?
Yeah,
Isn't that great?
I think that was the first cottage.
It absolutely was, because they had to take a boat across the channel and then carry their stuff.
Yeah, there.
How's that going to
put it right there? Just put that on the floor.
Carry their stuff to Camp Hockey.
Oh, yeah.
And my mother's sister, who was 4 years younger than she. So.
4 years younger than
my mother. See, my mother would have been maybe 2.
I remember your mother. Yeah, I remember. The ones that I never did know were the Worlicks.
The Worlicks, that's my mother's sister.
Okay. Is she still living?
Just died maybe.
I was going to say, you ought to show Dave what stuff you got.
Okay, I will.
Where's it?
Well, what have you got?
Well, I've got.
You got some.
This from the newspaper.
I remember that.
Remember that one?
Dave, in fact, copies of that stuff.
You know,
some of those are the only ones you've got.
And you might have seen this booklet, because I can't find the original of this booklet, which bugs me. I'll bet who I lent it to make these did not give it back to me. But you can have that, because I've got some copies of that.
Really?
Yeah, that's. And then this is the only one I have of this, which is kind of.
Oh, the cabanas.
Yeah,
that's what you're
going to. Showing the distance from Chicago and Cincinnati.
I know, people
again.
Are going to come from around the world.
Yep.
Well, you know,
oh, sure. They, that's all part of the ballyhoo.
Sure.
And here.
Look at that.
Sure, they they don't show the distances here, though, but they at least show you that Louisville isn't that far away.
No, it's not far at all.
No.
But it's true that people did.
Come here.
Louis.
Yes.
Not just to here, but to Grand Haven.
Missouri.
Missouri
people here.
Mm-hmm. So my brother met the Travis for the Nesters, or the fellow living in Palm. And he was like 14.
Oh, is that right?
And he pretended he was 18, so he could date them.
It probably were.
Claire and Glenn Travis are people who
have
known
kidding.
Since he was like 14 years old. They rented cottages on over near Highland Park.
Near Highland Park, uh-huh. Before they came out here to the North
uh-huh.
Shore.
That's right.
Because
for years they did that. That's the way to come in.
Oh, is it? Okay.
That's the curve.
Okay, of course. Now, I wonder what year this is.
Well,
doesn't
just
tell,
looking
doesn't.
At the cottages, I was just thinking about that. Just thinking, look at the cottages. It had to have been after they built quite a few of them.
Uh-huh. Because here.
Because there's quite a few cottages. Picture.
Those.
Uh-huh. See? Now,
I'll get a better picture of that. That was a postcard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, there.
Isn't that interesting? Sure, yeah.
I think it's
Sure it is. You're right.
Yeah. So that would have been...
It's starting with this one.
There's a Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same?
This,
might
now
not
this
have...
was my dad's office.
Oh, you're kidding. His office.
And it was the same shape as this cottage, kind of tickety painted roof. And then they moved it down to the Kowalski area.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the Cabana County. They built porches around it.
His office.
His office.
Was in real
estate. His real
estate
office. Well, that was his office for selling this property. And they used to say that to begin with, the lots sold like hotcakes. I mean, they'd come home with just money stuffed in their pockets and just come running in and go,
$500 a crack.
You know, right. Everybody was buying a lot on time. Because everybody was buying everything on time. In those
sure.
days. And then after the
because that would have been.
Yes.
Sure.
And then when the Depression hit, first they got all this property back, which they didn't want back.
That's the way it was.
Yes.
Okay, because the road was paved in 1928. But didn't you tell me that the Cabana Club started before?
Cabana Club started after that. It was during the Depression. In fact, it says something about that in the article. I wasn't too clean on that, clear on that myself, except I know that it was something that this fellow named Eric Dahl in Chicago, manager ran it, took all the money and went on short and invested it on something else that was a book. And Chrisman Lumber Company, is it Chrisman?
Oh, yeah, Chrisman.
They
sure.
furnished the lumber for all the buildings and the porches and stuff that they built in the dance floor and the stairways and the cabanas and everything. And they weren't paid. So my father had to pay them some money because the stuff was on his property and they didn't want the lumber because they couldn't sell used lumber.
No, that's right.
And anyway, so they ended up with the, you know, the property was there, so I came back to them and they had to buy some of the buildings and Chrisman evidently was very good about it. They always had a warm spot in their heart. And years and years later when they had an option on buying the property that ended up by Jim Hoffmeister Park, they found out the state was willing to buy it, and Chrisman, and they had an option to buy it first, and they could have bought it, David and Dad.
Mm-hmm.
But they said, Chrisman paid taxes on that forever. They just gave up the option. Mm-hmm. So Chrisman could sell it to the state.
Oh, isn't that something there?
Mm-hmm. Because he did such a good person in business with him.
Now, that wouldn't have been the dad by then. That would have been young George Norm and
That was
Jim.
Probably 19 years. Well, it was right 60s. After North Shore Estates went through all the way. That next step was to go, they were going to do a resort there with a lodge and small cottages.
At the very end?
Well, that was the whole property, instead of having just lakefront people, they were going to have a lodge. It was kind of central but lake access. We have the cottages up in the woods.
That kind of
so people can come down to the lodge and then use the beach.
That kind of harks back to the
Castle Park.
Castle Park, exactly.
Uh-huh. And they thought maybe now that lakefront was getting so difficult that people were building houses instead of cottages, this might go for cottages.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, you know, could have.
And would that have been up at the very tail end?
Mm-hmm. You know, well, you know where your property ends.
Yes, exactly.
And there, that starts Hoffmeister.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all of that part that this one.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. I wasn't aware of that. They traded 100 feet at the very tail end.
Mm-hmm.
100 feet is added on, and I don't remember.
Somebody
exactly.
owned, might have been Hunting, 800 spot. Owned a small piece in there, too.
Oh.
But otherwise it was all...
Jan, I think one of the fascinating stories is this house next door to Murphy's.
Oh, yeah.
Which was built in 42 or some such, Great War.
No, it was built long before. No. It was built in the 30s.
Okay, but...
In 17 days.
Yeah.
The guy,
yeah,
the fellow from Chicago wanted to buy it, and he said, I'll buy it if it's done by the 4th of July. And in those days, the carpenters, they had a whole group of carpenters from the west side of Grand Rapids who really wanted work. And in fact, they used to come with tents and their children and their wives and frying pans.
That was depression time.
Depression time. And they lived in the hills. And they drove all their cars up and turned their lights on, ran their engines, and kept the lights going all night. So they worked that to finish that cottage. And it's really a pretty good sized place. That has two full baths and four bedrooms upstairs and a bedroom down. Huh. And good, you know, fairly good size. And it was cottage with a masonite or beaverboard.
Now, is that next door?
Right next door.
This is Patrick Murphy, uh-huh. His family. He's a lawyer in Grand Rapids who owns it. The father was a doctor in Grand Rapids who first bought it, right?
No, well, the people from Chicago bought it. Lots of people.
Okay, and then
different people.
Many in between, the Murphys probably since the 40s, have owned it. The Dr. Murphy and then.
Well, in the 40s, Sobolewski's. Joe Sobolewski's in it. And before that, the Kirsts owned it. Owned it. In fact, at one point, my dad was in business with Lincoln Burkhoff. He was in Grand Rapids, and when they first began this whole thing, Lincoln came in as one of the salespeople in a part of a partner, and he owned that cottage.
Well, how did your dad acquire the land out here to begin with?
Well, he bought it from, he was a developer, that was his thing, and he developed Woodcliff in Grand Rapids. That was his development.
That would have been in the 20s also.
In the 20s also, 22, 23, 24. And that's on Reed's Lake.
Oh, okay.
And that is out near Lake Drive, ends Hits Hall, Street Road.
Okay. Now that's, you remember where Hecker lived?
Yes.
Okay. Would have been on the opposite side?
Yeah. Remember my brother's?
Yes, right.
Well, it's just before you get to there, you turn in towards the lake, and there's all these huge, these kind of houses.
Uh-huh.
They all look like this.
Oh, really?
They're
all they really?
Old English and whatever.
Did he design them and build them?
Well, he had a designer work with him and designed some of them.
Oh, you can go see it.
Yeah.
And all these, of course, he used to be there.
Yeah. So that was their main development, and they made all this money from doing that. And in fact, my mother moved two or three times, and she said, next time, because somebody looked at their house, oh, I want this house, so they'd move out and sell it, and they'd
get
another.
Oh, yeah.
She said, I want to stay in the next one. So they built a house out there that has like white pillars and exposure. It was a cheap thing, cheap house. But anyway.
So after that,
they
this land
took
was available.
A lot of this money and bought this property.
It was over 900 acres.
No.
68 years.
Yeah.
Out here?
Yes, 2.5 miles of shore, and it was several sections of land.
Back to Vandercock or Vander, somebody, Grander Slice's farm, which
is not
a hotel.
And the deed to Harold was 1927.
Good heavens, you mean he owned from the water's edge clear into where Marysburg is now?
Yes. 900 acres in 1927, clear from the pier to practically the Hawkins.
Immediately after he bought it, I think he sold off some of that land to the pier to my grandmother's sister, who was very wealthy. Her name is Phelps.
Now he owned to the pier.
If not to the pier, close to it. Maybe. But he, the Depression hit. Not only was he dealing with this property, he was dealing with Woodcliff.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing happened at Woodcliff. People couldn't keep their houses, even, much less.
And it was a kind of a land contract deal.
A lot of it was land contract, because that was really what they did in those days.
With sure.
Speculation and stocks and bonds and stuff. And so they sat down and made a decision, which property shall we keep? We can only keep one. If we keep the lake property here and the lake property in Grand Rapids. And they decided that this would be conducive to a better life.
Victor T. Coonrad et al., 1D, J. January 29, 1927, 992 acres.
Mm-hmm. So they decided to keep this property, and they had to just let that go. They lost it.
So it went to
the bank, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a gorgeous area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still.
Isn't that something, though? Yeah. And the homes that he helped build and design
are still there. They're beautiful places. Big places. In their day, they were wonderful. I think they, very well, old panel libraries.
And
somewhere on the lake and somewhere not, but they're all...
You know, if that was the only situation where that occurred, that would be one thing. But just think of the number of times that occurred everywhere throughout the country.
No,
everything just fell apart.
It just
came unglued.
So terribly difficult.
Yeah. So he came out here.
Then they decided to just, at that one point, they decided to live here. They got too cold. They had a furnace.
They didn't have this place here.
Yes, they had this place
okay.
here. Okay. Because this was one of the first places built. And he had this place here, and they thought, well, this would make for the best life. It's the most property. It's the best opportunity for maybe selling a little bit at a time and making living.
Sweetener?
So anyway, that was what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back in that was hard time for whatever reason, because he was an artist and a designer and a sign painter and whatever.
Your dad?
Yeah, he did everything. Advertising business, he did. Something he did a lot of
all the promotion.
Oh, a lot of promotional work, a lot of things that were. He was really his own person that had to sell himself.
Uh-huh.
He brought that little Grand Rapids newspaper. Grand Rapids Gold.
Oh,
the Grand Rapids, whatever it is.
East Grand Rapids.
Well, the Grand Rapids magazine. It used to be a newspaper, but now I think it's a magazine. He sold it 5 or 6 times. He went on to sell advertising and make money. And then he'd sell it to somebody, and they didn't run around advertising, and try to sell
advertising,
and so it didn't work. And so they'd sell it back to him, and then he'd run around and sell
it. And get it going
again.
Yeah.
And
make it a going proposition. Then he.
Yeah. And even during those years, he also was an agent for an artist, Art Raboff, who was a futuristic airbrush artist who did a lot of the advertising for airlines and cars in Detroit. And make good money,
I thought airbrush was a fairly recent. Yeah, I remember seeing something, a picture, and it would have been in fact, it was Walt Disney in the 30s, and it was something about airbrush. And I thought,
quite a skill, because it looked like photographs of its
So your folks, when they decided to give up Woodcliff or whatever, this was the only home.
This was the only home they had, and so they rented houses.
So you were born here.
I was born here, 1929, in July, when things were still pretty good, because it was fall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. Now they were renting. When you say renting houses.
Well, they owned a house in Woodcliff. And then they lived here. And then when that happened, they rented a house in Grand Rapids. And then they got sick. Chiefly under the depressed areas in Florida. And then they got a job. Yeah. Then they lived in East Grand Rapids for a while in Pinecrest. And he had some job that being advertised or maybe even help too much. He can get a job in an engraving company, selling engraving. And Kelly's used to live there for a while. And he came back.
And all the time keeping up
all
this
the time
property.
Keeping this up. Then
paying taxes on it.
Yeah. And then to sell off. And of course that's how construction labor gets going, because there was a time where they really had to sell something to pay the taxes.
And that was kind of hinterland.
And they were shoveling it onto a conveyor belt.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to take forever to do.
But really, so this action right out here, right over the hill here.
It's really effectively sold that. Right at that time, my dad owned it, sold it. And my uncle Kyle, who was Kyle Worley.
Oh, yes.
And my grandfather, who was Bert Fox.
Okay.
And and my uncle Bob Fox. And Obie Meehan, who was a brother-in-law of Uncle Bob. All gave $2,000 to and they formed a syndicate.
Okay.
So for $2,000, the rest of their lives, they got
rights of the land.
Some payoff and whatever, and everybody got a lot.
Whatever the sure thing.
And they were all good friends. Number one, they're all related to each other, but they're also all good friends. It worked out well. My dad still continued to sell all the property. They only own percentage. Kyle did all the legal work. And so they took all of the property in his name so he could do all the legal work. He was a very honest and good person.
Yeah, yes.
My mother's sister's husband.
Great.
And he was a lawyer for the A&E.
American Medical Association.
He was a good person. So a lot of the property in was put into his name so that we could sell something, send it to him, he could sign it.
Yeah, we could do that,
quote
sure.
Back.
Sure.
And they would trust him enough.
And he got a certain percentage more for the legal work, and my dad got a certain percentage more for selling.
For selling.
But also got a certain percentage more for owning it.
Now, when did your dad set up this little sales hut?
That had to be one of the first things they did, because
after building the house.
Here. Interesting, yeah, and
now, there after was no road here.
The first house, one of the first houses that was built was the log cabin, which was just taken down.
You deserve it.
Kim,
I mean,
where the new road's going up with the big houses behind, down that way.
That's
where the snod grasses are. You know,
next
to Greg Kelly and that little house perched on one side of the street, the other side of the street was Jack Kelly's.
Okay.
Across the side road right there. That was the log cabin, and that was the one that they brought logs in and stuff in to try to build that house by lake. And stone came up and dumped all their paint and stuff in the lake. And my grandfather built that. To help his son, my father, he said, I'll build the first house. And he did. He built that little log cabin. And it had two bedrooms and a bathroom and a living room and a kitchen. They're sleeping.
And it was still there.
It just this year, in fact, I went down to
get a picture. You did get a picture.
I got some
good
pictures of it.
All right.
And I'm sure that now that the taxes have gone up, it's so valuable that the Clintons are showing we ought to have a better house here.
Sure. Yeah.
And they should.
And that's what happened.
Interesting, what they did was one of the construction people told me that somebody, a brother-in-law or a son-in-law or somebody of the Clintons, wanted the log cabin. So they took it all down and they put it on the truck and they put it up north. We built it.
Oh, so it was not going to be lost.
It was going to be used somehow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. My brother, one time, and that was my grandfather, Worm, who built that. And then years later.
And at that time it was Worm, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yes.
W-O-R-M.
W-O-R-M. And Tony is his name. And
good German name.
Worm.
Well,
yes.
That's where they all came from, that
time.
Sure.
The Diet of Worms.
Now, let me get it straight. There would, if that was the first house built out here, there was no road out here.
No, they had to bring it all in by. In fact, it mentions that in this article.
Oh, okay.
They had to bring things in by boat or pull it in with horses or whatever. So the simpler the building, the better, of course. But that was an interesting place because it had a fireplace, a little brick fireplace. The doors were peeking. The door to the bedroom, instead of being a square door, it was a peeking door.
And
had to fit the little peek.
Uh-huh.
The front door was a big, massive thing. It was about this big, and it was a Dutch door.
Oh.
So the top.
So the handle.
And had a little peek through, and the chandelier was a wagon wheel. With the lights.
So it
was a really interesting place.
It wasn't a rustic.
No, it was. Well, it was, but it was interesting. But then years later.
So then your dad built this place.
He built this place.
Right after that?
Yeah. As soon as the road went, he built this place.
That
this
would
was
have been 28.
Because my mother was saying in 1929 in the summer, they were still putting in the stairs. They were living here for the summer. And she said, you know, those stairs are not quite a ladder that you can see through. And they're building stairs and not quite finished. And she said, it's so scary going up and down those stairs and being so frightened. These days they gained 40 pounds.
That's right. Sure did.
Of course, Janet was born right here. I mean, this house.
I was born at the old
The old Grandview Hospital, train building.
Oh, right across the street from where I used to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
I said, they put a church in Manhattan. Yeah.
Okay, now, after your dad built this, now the cabana.
Okay.
Or I guess we're in the middle of the Depression now.
They did build quite a few cottages.
And
before.
That's what we're seeing here.
Yeah, from this probably was before the Depression, because I don't think, this is the kind of an article that I don't think they've been able to put out when they didn't have any money.
Oh, yes.
The little booklet was beautiful on the heavy cardboard.
So I tend to think
it was 28 or 29 or getting ready for it, because that place was built, and this is Mrs. Sanders now. You know, it was Mrs. Leonard's at the time, one of the refrigerators people.
Oh.
And there's a little picture in here, but we could probably guess how old it is because... Greg Hickers in here in the third time.
Oh, is that right?
Playing on the beach?
My brother and my sister. Amy's girl. And there's another picture. That's what they plan to do where the park is now.
Okay.
I had to laugh. They said they were going to have dressing rooms and lounging rooms and dining rooms in a separate building that contain a drugstore, a post office, a grocery store, and other necessities.
Uh-huh.
This was going to be like a country club.
Sure.
And the dinner parties and moving pictures for the children.
Who put this out, your dad?
Uh-huh.
He did.
Uh-huh. He did all that kind of
stuff. And he did. This is our
And you know, I can remember even in the 40s, he had this ad that he was going to send to every doctor in Grand Rapids. You ever notice we had a lot of doctors on here all of a sudden?
True.
It was an
That's
ad,
right.
And he'd drawn this ad, I had it printed, and then we took rubber cement and would push across it, and then we put sand on the rubber cement. It was a big thing. I probably could find it if I...
Wasn't Dr. Hyland one of them?
Dr. Hyland was out here, yes. He just...
Is he the one that came up with this design of...
Yeah, and you know, he talks about Bowen, Carl Bowen,
yes,
in this article.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that you should stagger these lots across the street so that they can all have a view of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And you should go ahead and plant it, and you should do this, and that's what I did. Then my father was 30 when I was born. And that's, you know, he'd done all that before he was 30.
Yeah.
Which is quite young, I think.
Yeah, old.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at my kids that are really old now.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Mel Torme wrote the Christmas song when he was only 24 or 5 years old.
Yeah. Some of the best things to do. But look at what they planned.
This is your dad's. He conceived it all.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's where the park is now.
Yes. This is the park.
Okay.
Here's the road coming in.
Uh-huh.
This, of course, had to be moved. Because they really, this park was supposed to be for all of these people here at Bacon here.
Was this going to be?
They kept this outlot so that all the people on the back could go to this park.
And that was this one, right? I lost it now. Is that the one that where they were going to have dressing rooms and?
Yes. Uh huh.
Okay.
Uh huh. and mm-hmm. sort of a country club mm-hmm. flavor.
Yeah.
I should get those candid shots. I mean,
there.
Mm-hmm. That's what
that was going to be right there.
Yes. Uh-huh. That was going to be there.
And that island.
Uh-huh. And then they discovered they made an error. All of our walkthroughs were public.
I heard that story.
And the only way they could make a deal with the county, I guess.
Yeah, and Carl was in on that, Carl Bowen.
Was to say, well, let's give them the park, and we'll take back our walkthroughs, mm-hmm. which was good for the county, and it was good for
sure.
them, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
And so the walkthroughs were, of course, a lot less property than the park,
mm-hmm.
but the park was less impingement on
yeah,
property,
right.
so it was a good thing for both.
I was looking for those little candid shots that were brought by members of Liz.
Oh,
Liz
yeah, yeah, that's true.
There are a couple
I took them out in Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get the idea.
There, okay. There's yeah. Craig Hackett.
Oh!
And there's this big butter Tom.
So that means that the Hackers have been out here since
oh,
the
yeah.
20s.
Yeah.
That would have been taken the
no,
same time.
Craig Hackett's uncle. He had an uncle and an aunt. They were married or their children or something.
Well, that's the
Ferguson.
Yeah.
Nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And so these, they were here all the time with that uncle and aunt. But
okay.
uncle and aunt just loved them. Mm-hmm. I kind of think it was uncle and aunt. Wasn't married an aunt. It was a little sister brother.
Yeah. How are you, Marla?
So they were just here.
Good.
All the time. And so they've been here all the time. This was the front, standing on
yes,
the deck in front of the
nice,
Bandy County Club. That's what,
dish,
what that's what it looked like. They took that little
and
off.
Okay.
Won't
yeah.
play bridge, but anyway.
And
okay, good. So we'll be there.
See,
one is the
just amazes me.
This is a little way out.
So you're
oh,
dead.
So
really?
We'll be there.
It didn't really look
you're
like
welcome.
That.
Huh.
It was quite the thing.
Well,
they had orchestra shell and dance floor.
Yeah, call her and
deck.
Let her know.
Nobody ever had
okay.
a deck before. And there was a deck out there with a bass.
So what have you
got? A shop.
Oh, is that right?
A massage place. And a hot dog stand right here with, and all of the waiters were from Hope College were football players. And they had all these cabanas, and people bought those cabanas. Some rented, and then they'd rent them out to other people.
Uh-huh.
And the cabanas were this little awning would fold down in the winter
uh-huh.
and cover up the whole French door thing.
Yeah.
And then inside they had two studio couches, so four people could sleep there. They had a bathroom and a dressing room.
And that was it.
That was it. And so to eat, they had to go up here. Of course, they loved it. And lots of drinking. It was right after Prohibition.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful amount of
yeah.
people. Yeah.
And did it become a night spot?
Oh,
was
yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. People drove from all over. All Grand Rapids people. And it was called a private club.
Uh-huh.
But anybody could be in there. Uh-huh. As kids, our folks would take us down there for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And as kids, we would come here and sleep and lie in our tummies and watch people. Little kids dancing and
oh, sure.
going on and whatever.
But these were they families?
Yes, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Families or couples or whatever. And it was a wonderful thing. And they had this big, wide stairway that went down.
I could see.
The beach.
Sure. And it looked like all boardwalk.
Yeah, boardwalk
uh-huh.
all along.
Where was this?
This part,
Highland Park.
I'll bet you this is either Highland Park or the Spring Lake Country Club. They had tennis courts back then.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had.
Because
yeah.
you notice they have Spring Lake Country Club here.
Oh, yes.
So access to...
But here's that road coming down
mm-hmm.
again.
Here's the Hecker's cottage.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the early ones built?
Mm-hmm. And there's our cottage.
Uh-huh.
This is where we here.
Okay.
This one.
This is Expo or
that's the
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is amazing. I didn't
it's
realize like, there were, you still had
well,
a.
It's the only one I have.
Yeah.
Left, but
what I'd like to do is copy that.
Sure.
Quickly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it on my duplicated and copied.
Some of these satellite pictures, in this one, I think, are both in that book.
In this book?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And Janet, one article in the newspaper.
Yeah. Maybe you've seen that one, but this article.
This one?
He
oh,
tells,
yeah. I have seen it. I remember
a lot
it.
About,
no,
about
no, the article about Janet.
What, me?
What? Yeah.
Oh! Did I say anything different then?
But it might be.
Then we have the newspaper.
Oh, well, when was this?
I had this a couple of years ago. They asked several of them.
I missed it.
And I think they came to our house first.
88.
So we're the, I only really got pictures in.
Uh huh.
But they were talking about. They also interviewed some people that were having a bedroom.
Indeed, you can keep that article because it's to have extras.
Oh, good.
All right. Well, of course, you need that. This is so
I do. Yes, I do.
This is like I was born in paradise. You know, developing, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
I did Highland Garden dances and talked about rose and bass and beach. But anyway,
do you know who I interviewed? You may not know this, Bill, but you with Doug Baker and Bob Warner. Bob Warner is the one
yes.
who picked up the bands down there Wednesday night
yes, uh-huh.
and talked about the
uh-huh.
old, they were playing back in the old,
back in those old days.
Newport days. And you talked about yeah. Highland Park. They used to go down to Highland Park and play down there at the barn. I'm not
well,
so sure. Yeah.
The barn and then Sammy Fletcher at the new well, it's
hotel.
Hotel.
The hotel,
now.
Yes. Right.
It was just at Rust Balls. Did you remember Rust Balls?
Yes. Uh-huh. No, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doing, by the way?
Well, I haven't heard anything about him lately because Sammy Fletcher worked for us down in Florida.
Okay.
In Alaska. Yeah. Well, I haven't, you know, seen him for 20 years. I've seen Nancy. Because she was my sister. Sammy's wife.
Oh, okay.
His sister of my sister.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
So, but anyway, that was a wild bunch. And we often spent the band and all my brother's friends and
come here
and crash.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
We had to laugh because they would all wear seersucker suits.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And
blue and white, brown and white.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And then some guy would have on certain pants and certain blue pants.
When I say seersucker, I'm thinking of when I say
they're striped, those little
yeah, right, yeah. Okay,
blue,
yeah,
you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd trade jackets or they'd trade pants or whatever, so they could get a different outfit for the next day. For Friday night or Saturday night.
Yeah, that's the old joke. The German army. There's good news and bad news. Well, anyway, the good news is today you get a change of underwear. Hands, you change with Fritz.
Oh, that's the
bad
news.
Right.
Yeah, right. Same idea. There, sure.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Well, Mrs. Sanders, the Sanders rented the Euphorus guy for 17 years. Every
before
month.
Buying.
Before buying. They never bought. They always rented. And
they were so many kind of people. The money
oh, they
people.
Were wonderful people, too. Uh-huh. They were also wonderful to the people on the beach because they had all the kids contribute money for a raft. I think they 10 cents, 25
oh,
cents, whatever.
So the kids had
and
a stake
they,
in it.
They all had a stake in this raft. And then they had this huge raft with four Ford motor blocks as anchors
mm-hmm.
and, I don't know, 8 or 10 barrels underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
With a ladder and stuff.
Yeah.
And the kid, that was the meeting place for all the kids, the teenagers and anybody could swim to the raft, which was out over your head.
Sure.
You were old enough, on the rip.
You were old enough to get there, yeah.
And they had boats, and they had organized baseball games, and they had a chauffeur and a maid that were married, that limousine and so forth, and they'd everybody get in limousines, go to movies, and
really?
Organized there. Baseball games, and it was a wonderful thing for kids, because but I was just a little too young. I said, Nancy Sanders and I were taking naps and they're doing all this crazy stuff.
But the
so my brother and my sister had a wonderful time.
But they made them pay.
Well, they just said that we'd like to build a raft and contribute to
yeah.
the kids dead. And they all felt it was a raft. Of course, it was much more grand.
Good heavens.
And, you know,
probably was a
a $200 raft in those days.
Well, yeah, it was more, and to say nothing of the building. And then it was constantly repaired and replaced, and but it was the place to meet on each of the raft.
I'll bet you if you went out there, you could still find those motorcycles.
Probably.
Over the moving right? That's right.
Every time there was a huge storm, the raft would float in.
Creek.
And the kids would all have to run down and float out again, and they'd also be virtuous.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, Dave, I think the important part of history is that Jan and I dating. We're dating.
That's our history. That's true.
Oh, we at the Cabana.
Well, after
Colony
the Cabana Colony
Club
folded, it became one of our cottages.
And then Janet stayed in that cottage and rented this house.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And lived there, and Janet and I, when we were dating, I was her guest for
three weeks
there. And then
I wasn't aware of that.
And
this was my
high school
teacher.
Well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have that.
That's right. And then we, at times, we were here
with
other people.
With other dates.
So bizarre.
In college.
Well, what happened to the cabanas? They finally, when they turned it over to the county, that's
well, the cabanas, they sold to the motel. And you remember that, in fact, I opened up one newspaper. Here, maybe it was this one. This is the one that was stuck onto this. It's something about my dad and the art group. But anyway, I opened up this thing, and there's a little article about who got hurt in an accident. And it doesn't really matter. But anyway, he said, Jan Farley, Bruce Buchman. No. Somebody got hurt, and they said he's from the Cabanas on North Shore Road.
Are you kidding? Because
let's see, I'm going to find it now.
I guess they were called the Cabanas.
Because he bought some of the Cabanas and hauled them away and made them into a motel. And it's called North Shore
That's
Motel.
That's right.
Oh, in the North Shore Motel, right there by Lutkins.
Uh-huh.
And that would be
Well, now they were the North Shore Cabins.
Yep, but before that they were the Cabanas, because I just read it here in the newspaper.
Well, I'm trying to think. They were the Spring Lake Cabanas.
Okay. Jim Farley of Spring Lake Cabanas.
Okay, Spring Lake.
Injured in an accident Monday.
Uh-huh.
Is that a different thing?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Farley, in fact, Farley owned the Cabanas over there.
Okay. Well, I do remember that they hauled some of them away because they weren't that tall, they weren't that big.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we had one there while we were living there. It was our pump house. And we put the pump for the water down there.
It looked like they were up on feet.
They were. They're up on stilts.
Uh-huh. Which made sense.
And they had a deck that this awning went over. That the awning went down, it covered the whole front of the thing like that.
A storm door. The
widder that was at.
A hurricane.
And they had
shredder.
Sort of like pipe railings and stuff going down. They had like furniture.
I bet your dad designed those.
Oh, I bet he did too. Yeah. And then when we took over the Cabana Colony Club place, that huge place, that there were porches, cement porches all around this little office building. The little office building had been the bar. Then, after it was the office, then it became the bar.
Oh, I see, the office down the street here.
That was the bar, and then the porches around the bar. And then when we were teenagers, the bar was the room where all the girls slept. And my cousins and my sister, and we had many beds in this bar. But we still called it the bar. And it was cute because we had little window boxes on the outside. My grandmother always planted petunias.
Yeah.
And it was still inside the house. And we didn't have doors. We had curtains on the bar, because the bar never had doors. But all around the room were these studio couches that they bought when they sold out the whole Cabana. And tables and whatever. All of the furniture was from that restaurant, and all the dishes from the restaurant. And we turned the kitchen into three more bedrooms, so that my grandparents and my aunts and uncles and my cousins, we all spent time there. We had some of the best times of our lives there, because you couldn't ruin anything as a kid. You could take your clay and you can play on the table. Because it doesn't matter, it's just clay on the table.
You know, I'm trying to figure out how this thing works. If your Uncle Worley, mm-hmm. Uncle Kyle, uh-huh. and Uncle somebody other, Fox,
uh-huh.
and I forgot who else. Yeah,
and my grandfather.
They were all involved when uh-huh. the cabanas were built. But, you know, that had to be a pretty good chunk of money, and it had to have been a venture.
I think you're right.
Your dad had to lay that out. Yeah. But it was uh-huh. done prior to the crash, you think? Or was it mm. after the crash? It was after the crash.
It's after Prohibition.
Uh-huh. When so it would have been after 32.
Yeah, so it was after Prohibition mm-hmm. because there was liquor.
34, 35.
And were there some counties that were dry still?
Yes.
After Prohibition?
Right. And Iowa would have been one of them, I bet.
And so it had to be a private club.
Okay, that was your deal.
And that was the deal. Mm-hmm. And people would drive from all over to come to this private club.
Well, I think of it, to me, what I find fascinating is from Grand Rapids, they came by train. So my
inner urban.
That was a big thing to come on inner urban.
But I'm not all sure.
To go out to the Cabana Club.
Just to the lake.
To the lake. Oh, yeah.
Right. Right. It was not, you didn't drive, you took the inner urban.
No. But that was when they were, that was even younger, I think.
27, the interurban
was
gone.
I think that was.
It was gone. So yeah.
From then on, it was cars. Because the interurban used to go down in front of the cottages.
On the other side of the channel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
When Jan told me about that, I said, can't believe that they came by train.
I know.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine a better mass transit system? In Grand Haven, if you live anywhere near Washington Street, two blocks away, pick up your bags, you can get on that interurban
and go.
Go anywhere in the world.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. What a wonderful idea. Why don't they still do that?
Well,
we would all do it.
No. I'll tell you why not. Go down to any street in town and watch the cars go by. How many are in a car?
One car.
One person in every car.
I would do it. Exactly. Yeah, that's true. But yeah. I would do it. I would get on a streetcar. Even Detroit had all those streetcars. They were wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, in Chicago, they have it.
Yeah. And it works.
Yep. It does, but they've got to promote it all the time. Yeah. Try to tell these people, don't
use it.
They have to make parking hard.
Yeah, exactly.
expensive.
You know, the deal.
It's been there to make it max. It goes up the wall, how much you have to pay for a car. If you take it out once and they beg it, it'd be $9 again, or $12 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Scary, did you?
Mm-hmm. So that era was in the 30s, because I wouldn't have been up there
looking
at
it and
been old enough, you know.
4 or 5 years old.
Or seven or something.
Yeah,
that's probably right. And there are pictures of us down on the beach. In that. Where there's a beauty shop. In fact, when they built the cottage of Pulse, the Whittiers built it, and they bought one of the cabanas, because the cabana club was going out, and put it in front of their cottage for their cousins and
whatever, their guest house.
Like a guest house.
Yeah.
So, the beach there. Make it a huge beach there. Yeah, they were huge, because they could have those cabanas, and they could have those. Umbrellas and
it all worked.
It all worked.
Yeah, there was
in fact, it would have been okay if your teacher somebody said it maybe three times.
Yeah,
you really shouldn't. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when you're that doesn't take us up to the war, pretty close to it.
Yeah.
Your brother told me when he came back from the war. Nothing had developed up there.
Right.
But by then, though, when did the county acquire the land, the park?
I'm not sure on that.
That would have been before the war, I think.
I think they had already gotten that by then. I'm sure they had.
But not before the Cabanas, is it?
No, not before then, but I think just before the war.
Mm.
I'm not positive about that,
though.
But because they had to make a decision about where to put that road in. They were going to go in, behind it.
That's what Dave told me. And he said,
when
he showed me.
There was a natural trail in there.
He showed me where he bought a bulldozer.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And he actually went in there and started running a bulldozer.
That's right. We called that bulldozer David's Folly. So bad. Broke down all of it. There was a natural trail kind of going around the edge.
Yeah, well, sure.
And it would come out your hill spot.
Yes, exactly.
Good for you. That's
and if you... Probably it's harder to find now, but in those days you can find it quite easily.
That's old.
She can dig that, Dad?
Hope it goes well.
That's engaged to me. That's darling girl I really like.
Wow, that's a pretty girl.
So she's up in something's day. So she's just applying for a job at St. Mary's.
St. Mary's Grand House.
Mary's Grand House. It's very fruitful. You'll get Grand Rapids.
Yes.
But how nice that you survived around with them. Oh, that's good. Yeah,
so they were here.
Sure, hold on just a minute.
You need to hear this one.
Yes.
Well, for sure.
We were just for the fun of it figuring out what 2.5 miles of property here would be worth today.
2.5 times 5280 equals, that's 13,200 times, 2,000.
Okay.
Times 2,000 equals. Now that's,
you probably can't read it on that machine because it doesn't give you decimal points.
I think that's $26,200,000 just on the frontage.
That's only
the frontage is worth $26.4 million. So your dad just the land, the frontage.
What do they say? The third owner makes money.
Well, you know, that's probably not too far off. Now, 2.5 miles from the pier, we always figure from the pier to the county park, 2 miles, and from our place down to the county park, another 2 miles.
No,
another
2 miles.
4 miles.
4 miles.
So at one time, how did he acquire the land up there then?
That was part of the first parcel.
Because he gave the money for the park.
He gave the park, but only... No. He didn't do the office. No, that was... Remember I said Chrisman owned it? And they had a... We can do that. Maybe from Vanderbilt Road to... To the city limits.
Oh, yes.
Is...
2.5 miles? That'd be about right.
Maybe 2.5 miles. And I think the rest of the property he owned, but he immediately sold, or maybe sold it before he owned it, to this aunt, this great aunt. It was my grandmother's sister who was a millionaire. And then he sold some of her property.
Oh,
he had to take the whole thing, but
he had to sell
the whole thing.
Something.
And it might not have been all the way to the pier. It might have been to Camp Wahoo.
Yes, right.
Because she was so wealthy. She was so wealthy that before my mother died, she was still getting money from that person.
She's
my grandmother's sister who gave all of her six brothers and sisters money. And then they had all six and eight children and so forth.
Sure.
And they all got
diluted down.
Still
down.
David was asking a question or said, everybody has the impression your father got wealthy and
he
never did. And I said to David, he lived very frugally. He never was wealthy.
But he was very, except for the depression, he lived very comfortably. He did everything he wanted to do.
Rich. Exactly.
Always had a car.
Careful.
Always had a good car and always went where they wanted to go and they always had fun. And I think my mother and dad were very compatible in a lot of ways. And my father went to town every day. Every day went to Grand Haven or Spring Lake to shop. would have bought groceries. He loves going to people. He loved talking to people. He loved being
those were his
people.
Contacts. He was a people person.
Loved that. Loved that. I remember Ken Pilgrim used to say he was the Maurice Chevalier at the beach.
Yeah. Yes, I was suspecting.
He'd walk by and she'd say, Harold, and he'd go up and have a cup of coffee with her.
Oh, yeah. Good heavens, that's right. She moved out here. Mm-hmm. He was still living then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. And then he did belong to this artist group and didn't do serious painting anymore. But he just loved those people.
I noticed that, let's see now, who is included here? Eugene Harbeck, Sr., Harold Warm, Robert Burnside, and a Bob McCreevy, who I don't know.
And another person was, who was that gal that lives up on the North Shore Estates? She's married to the builder.
That was Jordan. Yes, Noreen Jordan.
He really liked her artwork.
Yeah, she was good. Yeah, very talented.
And they'd have a Christmas party or something in the middle of the day and go back. That was good.
Well, after the war, then, Dave started to hack his way into there,
and the bulldozer got failing.
Yeah.
And the next thing they did, they hooked up with Wally Tabor's dad, Harold Tabor.
That's how Tabor got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said that he would build just as much road as they could afford. And that they went behind the park.
Yes, right.
And so they were selling lots for, $1,500, and they gave them a back lot. If you bought a front lot, you got
free. Oh, that's right.
Free.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And then they'd have a little more money, so they'd build a little more road. And then they sold a few more lots. And then they get enough money to pay Harold Tabor, and he built more road. It was just the gravel road.
Absolutely. I remember.
Yeah. You were one of the first
people to live there.
You're wrong.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You were
so Harold Tabor did the
year-round North Shore Estates.
The road.
To live there.
And they took that last lot as part payment.
Oh, that's right.
Wally Tabor had gotten a... But he's died since then. But anyway, he got a restaurant or something.
It was a hardware store.
Okay, and he took that and put it on the property.
And he hauled it from where? Otsego.
They were
building a road down that way. And
but
that was
also
part of
had a like a fast food bar with bar stools.
Well,
Harold Tabor died. Cancer. Uh-huh.
And Wally was the son.
Yes, Wally was the son. I don't know how that worked, but anyway. So at one point when Walters bought that place, they got lots across the street, all those people, at least to that point, I know. And they built that garage across the street. And there was an uproar because we were not supposed to build a garage.
Right.
It's not attached.
Uh-huh.
But they'd already done it, and so the only one that was ever there.
They allowed it.
They allowed it.
You know, it's interesting, and it took me a long time to figure out how that happens. But you go from North Shore Estates subdivision. That's the first one. We don't call it 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
Then you go to North Shore Estates 2, then you go to North Shore Estates 1, then to 3.
Okay.
And I never could understand how that worked. What had happened is, they had decided to put the road right straight down the way. And when they finally got to that point, they said, you know, it's going to make more sense to go around this road than through it. How are we going to do this? We've already subdivided it. They said, well, let's just re-subdivide it. So, they went back and said, okay, we'll have to make this 2 because we don't want to disturb 1. That's all we have to. So number 1 starts with lot number 45 or 60.
Uh-huh. And then that hill, they made the driveway in, and everybody got access, and they built the cottages out in front. Mm-hmm.
So that's how it started.
And then that subdivision, North Shore Estates subdivision.
The very first one.
First one.
Where
the one that backed off of belonging to the association.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was because of, what was his name?
In fact, he built the cottage at Jeremy James.
For Bob Ellis.
No, but it was
yeah,
Bob
right.
Ellis.
What was his name?
For Bob Ellis.
That was his name.
Incidentally, you don't have to give us a key for John.
Okay,
Janet.
Yeah, that's right. I meant to bring Bob.
That's okay. You don't need to bring the key. John and Janet got a key from Bob Elton.
Okay.
So as long as you put it on their priority list,
okay.
So you don't even have to deliver it.
We all went to high school, Bob.
But as long as they're protected to be
okay,
number 73rd on the list.
Even though they're not members.
They become a member in July if the membership approves of them. But they can use it until then.
That's
no,
right.
I want to say Durban.
No, you're close. You're close.
It's before
I can see it.
Bob Kirsch's cousin's brother.
She's such an arrogant guy.
God, I know it. He was a force behind all that. But,
See, we get
but my father didn't want to hear about that. My brother used to say, I don't know how you have the guts to live in the same development that you started. With anybody.
With anybody.
Because nobody likes what you do. It's just my brother said to my father, I don't know how you have the guts to live in the development. Because, of course, he's done all this developing up north now.
Your brother
did. My brother did that off course and all that.
Yeah.
And he said, some people are going to hate him.
Same way with Charlie Rising.
Great
things out here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But everyone figures he's a bum.
He's
getting rich off of us.
Changing this.
Yeah.
You know,
the way that worked, your dad had always said, I'll plow the road and I'll take care of it until there are more lots owned by people than there are owned by me. And we never knew that, thank you. He came to me one day and he said, the time has come. I said, sounds fair to me. So that's when I tried to organize the people.
Well, you did a good job.
Well, what we did was to use an old 1927 beach community, what the heck would it be, a resort
association.
And it said in that in order to vote on whether or not everyone would belong to the association, you had to not only own property, but you had to live there for 2 or 3 weekends at least prior to your voting. Well, now, his contention was that we had usurped his right because he was not able to live there. Apparently, he didn't. And he didn't have a place there.
Oliver.
Yeah, you got it.
Something Oliver. Don't know. Oliver.
Last name Oliver.
No, but he was in business with Oliver.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, I guess maybe that was it.
I want to say Dumas, but that's not right.
Anyway, right to the Supreme Court, and the decision was that no, they don't have to live there. All they have to do is own. So live was transformed to own, and so then we had to revote the thing. At that time, there were only enough people living up at that end that they could say, we'll take the benefits of your plowing our road and keeping it up, but we don't want to have to pay them.
They also didn't want to pay because they didn't have very far to go on. We were going through these ruts.
That's right. Of course, you lived up that road.
That's right. And the kids, we had to drive the kids down to the bus because the buses, school bus, was too dangerous.
So Oliver, you didn't like Oliver.
No, it wasn't Oliver.
What was his name?
Oliver something.
Yeah, I kept all those old
ruts. Oh, I know that. I said it to Jan just
Oliver
last weekend.
Stone.
It was the
Oliver Corporation is where he. That's right.
It's Oliver something. There's something Oliver. He wants to keep him or tell him or something. But anyway, yeah, he was a rascal.
Oh, he was. He was an amateur astronomer.
Probably, Dave. If you got the association meeting minutes from all these years back, which are here somewhere.
Yes. Oh, your minutes.
Grand Haven Beach Association is tremendous because everybody's been president at some point. Craig Hager was, and my brother was, and everyone, I have been, and different people have been president, and different things have happened. But we had tremendous park problems for a while. You know, whether parking town or anything.
Oh, yes.
Tremendous park. We finally got through that. We had to have special assessments. We all had to pay $250 for septic, and we only paid $15 a year for 10 or something. And, but all the way back, it shows the history of disputes.
Oh, yes. Right.
Tremendous. Who wants to move the walkway or that kind of stuff?
Oh, yes, right. Sure.
Two people buy lots, and then they say, well, there's a walkway here. Can we move it in the middle so we can have this? And then there's lots of available.
But, you know, your dad had the foresight to know that having those beach rights was very important. And those become more and more an issue.
Really important now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too bad now because we've got one right next door and they all come down and sit in front of our house.
Sure. Yeah.
But what we've decided as an association, we're going to get letters out to those people. They have to belong to our association. And then we can start saying, let's keep the beach clean and let's be respectful of other people and give space and stuff like this.
It's becoming more
and
more
problematic. And especially if you have a little beach, the water runs, and people have boats, then it, where you sit is important. If you've got a huge 100 feet, no big deal.
You know, two things, or maybe more than that, but that you were saying that your dad's had always kept his word, I can't remember what it was, but Dave came to me and said, you know, we really are out of the business of selling up here. Would you like to buy the rest of it?
Right.
Whatever was left over. So I said yes, and got three other guys, because I couldn't swing $54,000. Can you imagine? Eventually sold it. I couldn't swing it, so I had to get some guys to go in with me. And
but $54,000 is a lot more than.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It is now, and you were a lot younger and had more responsibility.
So he finally swung the deal with me. But, and this shows you how he kept his word as well. He said, I have made a promise to John Angus some time ago, and John may not have ever remembered it. He said that if ever I sold, he would get the first lot for me. He said, now, if you can't stand that, then the whole deal's off. I said, sounds okay to me. But think of it. And your dad had always told me that he was going to someday put up some kind of a recreation area for the kids out there. And when they came to us and said, we'd like to give the people that live out here a tennis court, you know, Dave did. Because you remembered that.
He always wanted to do that. He could never really afford to do it. No, but he always wanted to do that. And he often said, I will give the property if somebody will build the tennis court. But it was never cohesive enough for some reason. You know, maybe not enough people interested in tennis.
Sure.
He wanted young people to be able to meet here instead of going to the Oval. That really was his goal. There ought to be more for young people to be here, meet each other. Because three cottages away, they don't know each other. And they should, too. But of course, not for the school. Here, they do know each other.
Yeah.
Just some of people.
But the tennis court has done that, too.
It has. Yes. It really has. Yeah. And not only
young people.
Young
and old people.
Yeah, I know. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful gathering. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's been kept up so beautifully. I just think it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, extra, another tennis court and benches with the awnings and the beautiful pavilion.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Right.
It's just gorgeous. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. Now, if you just come down and use it.
We're going to do better.
We've got Brother John as a tennis player, so
no, we'll maybe we'll do
urge us.
Well, Sandy.
Sandy's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. And John will, too.
Well, good.
Yeah.
You'll like John and Janet.
Great.
It's another Janet Grant.
Yeah, that's right.
Just a great gal.
First Grant.
Say, before I leave, I picked your brain on that. Mm-hmm. Let me just see if there's anything else here.
Here, I'm going to put my glasses.
Here.
It's magnified?
Oh, they'll do.
Oh, they'll do. Why do you
get
them?
Get them at Myers.
I get mine at Myers.
That's right. I get mine at Lepic's.
Yeah.
Bush Drug.
Yeah, well, yeah, right.
It's see, now. Up here.
It is, and it looks down, and is that this building? Is that Camp Wahoo?
I think it is. You're right. It's way, you know what? That's way on the back dune.
Sure. They've taken a picture. They're taking a picture from way up on the back dune, looking down. See, this was the only cottage out there. Do you notice what's out in front of you? The outhouse.
Oh, my God, yes.
And far away.
Sure.
Way far away.
Now, it's there's the lake.
Yeah.
See, that was the camp.
Sure, okay, sure, sure.
I think it was
the
Girl Scouts.
And this is the camp here, a different view of it. Look at all the...
Look at all the grass.
And look, the deer. Here's the deer.
Yeah. But, see, what we were trying to figure out, if maybe this wasn't taken up in the dunes, looking down at old Camp Wahoo.
Because there are no streets.
No, there was nothing there. Sure.
And in fact, you'll see that they're really not on a hill. Nothing was hilly between here and Camp Wahoo. You know, all those dunes that are there now are just filled up.
Was that right?
We were kids where we could walk to the pier, but we'd walk to the pier and the Coast Guard would roll us across to the town.
You remember that?
Yeah, and we'd walk along the road, and from the road it went down to the water.
Yeah, and then there are some other cottages, and I can't figure that out very well. See, the road is in by then, and there are places on both sides, it looks like. Sure.
That's my dad's office.
Oh, you're kidding.
Now the board's got easier. Now they can move their office down. And then they do it right. Sure, that is. That's that little peak of thing.
Who is it that, who am I trying
to
think of?
That used to be Christie.
Gosh, who am I thinking of? The Gerber. There's a Gerber that lives back there. Someplace.
Behind their house.
Okay.
Behind their house.
Okay.
Look at those cars. Isn't it? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is Judge Joyce's house, which is now seen in that.
Okay.
There's a judge in St. Louis who built that.
Uh-huh. There was a place down here that you used to...
We lived in a lot of the cottages.
Yeah, along here. You did.
We lived in one that is down. Before you get to Angel's Daggett's.
Yeah.
They call it Daggett's.
Okay.
So that was called a Bible cottage. And it was the cottage that people went through to see the kind of cottage they could build. And it built, and it's the same cottage that everybody has practically along here, except they moved the stairs and the maid's room.
That's what you mentioned.
Yeah. And so that was we
a
lived there
plan.
Long. Yeah. And we lived across the street in the log cabin often.
Uh-huh.
And we lived here and we lived up in the cabanion, of course. And the Wise cottage was one of the first places too. And in fact Dick Wise remembers living in the log cabin. He was like 2.5 feet. They rented it. He's a agricultural professor at Michigan State.
Oh.
And they've had that cottage since as long as I've been here.
And where is that?
And that's right next to, there's Ainsworth, and then there's kind of a low, modern looking place, and then there's Wise, and then there's Cassie Neely's, it's now Rivers. Which they remodel it.
There is a string of them.
That would be just this side of Sherwood.
On
the right side.
Three cottages.
Uh-huh.
Across the street from the Ben Foss.
Yeah.
It was right across from Ainsworth.
Yeah.
Right across from Ainsworth is his own place that he rents out. Then there's another cottage with Ben Hoss, and then the next one is across the street from Wise's. And that's a very old place. I know years and years ago, Gilbert played it one year.
How about Red Buck's place that is now Lynch's?
Okay, his mother, Mrs. Buck, built it.
Oh.
And that's not as old, but it's good and old, but it's not old. Yeah, not old. She's old.
Now, how about the place behind that? That was kind of an estate.
Stuart Lutz built that.
Okay. And that's then, quite recent, too.
Yeah. And that, but that's recent in our era.
Yeah.
My era. Uh-huh. But I'd say it was built in the 40s, maybe.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of frightening when you stop and think. Yeah, I'm talking about writing a book from 1890 to 1990.
Wow.
Which is 100 years.
Sure.
But,
sure.
And you realize, we cover half of that span.
Yeah.
In our own minds. And
that's,
you know,
right.
We
that's right.
That's right.
Oh, and wow. Plus, Janet can go back to her mom and dad to 1890.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So,
and pick those. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it collapses.
Those are people that...
Exactly.
In those era, they were people that spent life at Mattawa. Summers at Mattawa. And the beaches were wonderful. I mean, even if it was 2 weeks, they always went to the beach. You know, they found some way. I'm amazed that they could do that.
Yeah.
They even went up north to the beaches with the hunting clubs or the shooting places. My grandparents. You think about that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, but they
did it.
I know
they
it.
Did it.
But
yeah.
They did adventure.
They know it. And the dresses were big and
sure, yeah. But they all. Yeah,
they
I know
did it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
It's amazing. My grandmother had a brother who was named Charlie Matheson, and he was one of the original car manufacturers in the world.
Car
manufacturers. They had the Matheson
car.
Six, the Silent Six or something, mm-hmm. And they built them in Pennsylvania. And then after that, went defunct because there were hundreds of car manufacturers.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
He was one of the top sales managers of all of the big car companies in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Made millions of dollars. But he built huge cottages to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
And the guest house and, you know, the 8 bedrooms and something. And so all of his brothers and sisters with all of their children all visited at this wonderful cottage, and so they all became entranced with Lake Michigan and Detroit. To Detroit. So Lake Michigan is a big trip in that thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
Yeah.
But it's really kind of fascinating when you realize, in talking to the old-timers in Fruitport, or in the Ferrisburg, I should say, this area out here was kind of the extended farmland.
Yes.
They would bring cattle out here, they'd bring
yes.
things out here, and they told me that walking along here sometimes the lumber from ships that had fallen off was so
yeah.
thick it was difficult to
yeah.
even walk the beach. And so, but at the same time, Highland Park and Stickney Ridge was a
going
concern.
Yeah.
You know,
that's where it was wild.
When they were building these houses, there was a family of Browns. And Wayne Brown, but they were young boys, young kids. And they were trouble sitting, and they were drag trucks, and they would work for my dad, and they were nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, Tracy knew one of the sons of one of these Brown guys.
Yeah.
They probably would know a lot of the history about what was happening out here, because
yeah.
they were kids, working kids,
uh-huh.
when this was all being started. I can remember used to say that when we drive up to the truck to take a sand, load of sand from one place to another, uh-huh. and my brother would be able to climb up and sit on the top of the sand, on the top of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'd drive them down and yeah. help them off. They wouldn't do that today.
Yeah.
They were such nice kids.
Sure.
Themselves.
Yeah.
They were nice people.
You know, I had the opportunity, writing the other book, to talk to the fella within weeks before he died that was involved in constructing this road out there.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, he claims that they built a track. This is all concrete.
Yes.
But blacktop. And so it had to be laid and then stay off of it
for
a day or two or three.
Before they get their hands.
Yeah, and he claims that they built a track out here and would bring the cars with the concrete on it, dump it off, and build the road, and then when they got all through, tore the track up.
Now, what I'm amazed at, didn't they have to use horses and scoops?
They didn't to grade.
To grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I, when I was a youngster, we didn't have grass or anything out there much. And so the sand, and nobody else did. And so the sand would blow around the house and lay on the driveway.
And every
up
spring.
Up the window.
Yeah.
Of the garage. And every spring we had to hire somebody with a horse and scoop. And it looked like a plow.
Yeah.
It was a big...
Yep.
Like
a big handle.
Like a sugar
scoop. Right. Uh-huh.
And
right.
The greatest fun as kids were to sit out here and watch this horse and the scooper. And sometimes they'd let us ride the horse while her scooped.
Yeah.
But I used to think, how did they ever build that road with a horse and a scoop if I had more than... But and I'm sure they... That's why it wove around, is to get that. Around the worst of the hills.
Yeah,
whatever.
True. Yeah.
But yeah. Even in the days when I was doing North Shore Estates, my brother and my dad used to sit in here and say, what's the plan? Pump the water out of the lake. Up to the top of the building. Couldn't we run the holes up there and wash the water out so we could build a road?
Yeah. Oh, I see. Wash away the hill.
Wash away the hill.
Sure. Uh-huh. Sure.
They thought it could have in those days because it would have stopped them.
One of the, the road just kind of followed the contours.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And between our house and the end of the road,
yeah.
where Wally Tabor was,
yes.
There was quite a dip.
Uh-huh.
And any time there was a snow, that thing was blown shut.
Yes.
14. Everyone parked their car there and walked in. that was the end of the road. And then it began to fill up with sand. And so we're fighting it all the time. And finally, we just said, let's just close it shut. And so now, the contour of the road is entirely good.
Sure. Isn't that, that's wild.
Yeah.
But there's necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah, sure. But when they put the road in, they didn't really engineer it with anything in mind other than, let's hack it through.
Sure, sure. Get it through and follow the contour.
Yeah. And so when it came time to paving, we just followed the same track.
Sure.
And the other thing that's rather humorous, and Janet would remember this, when Fred Schaefer wanted to buy a lot, do you remember the Schaefers? Fred Schaefer married Mean Sal. Mean Goodspeed.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
They had stopped the road where... Well, I'm sorry. That's going to wonder where
this
I am.
Is, but, well, I accidentally called her first because
you did, so she
and said that I was going to try to change the time or something. And she said, that's what you're going to this elder hostel thing,
yeah.
Which I've been getting all these elder hostel things, trying to go into it all the time.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
We have an aunt that does that. She's young and vital and visiting and so on and so forth. So. But they're doing tennis and
old time radio.
Old time radio. Oh, I love old time radio.
Yeah, and the culture of the Hopi Indian.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. So that'll be our elder hostel.
We're going to go out to the winter.
Are you?
And look at some of the retirement kinds of things. I can't believe it.
Where are you thinking of?
We're thinking of Tucson.
Yep.
Tucson area.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more. It's just
relevant.
Yeah. Yeah. But it looks like tennis and golf and swimming and art and some things we'd like to do.
But we check it out.
That would at least be checked.
Yeah.
Winter time.
The story I want to tell, though, in party, is I told you about. Subdivision number two coming for subdivision.
Yeah.
And it took me.
I didn't ever know that. That's
a
great.
Year or two to figure that one out. Well, I couldn't understand how that all happened. The other thing was that Luther Stalin was not a member of the association. He did not. He was not on the books. There was a blank spot in all the charts. And what had happened? And your dad had told me this. Mm-hmm.
when the road only went as far as Luther Stalin's. And Fred Schaefer, and Mean Goodspeed, Goodspeed, he wanted to buy it, and your dad said, well, we haven't gone that far, but you can have the next bit of land, whatever that, we haven't subdivided yet, but by meets and bounds, I remember your dad telling me that, by meets and bounds, you can have the next 300 feet. So, when they subdivided the next 300 feet, or the next subdivision number three, they just left that first 300 feet on.
So he didn't have to drive.
He didn't
have to
drive.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, yeah. And I never could understand, why is that void at all? I go over the tax rolls and the spring light.
Is he taxed?
Yeah, he was taxed. But he paid in a different realm. Yeah.
But we're trying to figure out, after John and Janet bought the Ellis place, we're trying to figure out if they're in Ferrisburg or Spring Lake Township.
And they are Ferrisburg.
Yeah, they are. Where does Ferrisburg end?
Right, where subdivision number one, or number two, begins.
Where's the garden hall?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
That's interesting.
How much of this can I copy?
Oh, anything.
Really?
Anything that's of value.
I get all.
I'm just so impressed that you write a book. I think that's great.
See, Janet needs everything back except the article from the Grand Rapids Press.
Except
I've got tons of things to let away.
Okay. All right. I'll copy this. Yeah. And I'll copy this. I can miniaturize this.
Yeah.
I remember this one.
That you don't really need that part.
Well, that's okay. I'll just take the whole thing. Yeah,
you can have this.
Oh, good. That's great. Oh, absolutely.
I don't have another one of those.
No one in the world does.
No, I know. It's terrible. Now, when we were cleaning out, I found a film. And I'll find out from my brother if he still has it. A moving picture film of the building.
Out there.
I'm going to have to find out if he still has it. I gave it to David because he does a lot of moving picture stuff.
Hey, what's your home number?
7263.
842. And find out if he still has it. 7263. Ran and looked at it himself. He said, oh, it's really interesting. I never got a chance to look at it.
You know what that and I just did? It took us 4 or 5 days.
David has a lot of his recording.
Yes.
David, your
we put all of our 8mm on videotape. But the way we did it, we just showed it on the wall and stood back with our video camera. But then we talked while it was going on, and you can hear the camera.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
What's happening? Sure. You know, remember, he's been
and we just chatted, and then somebody else said, well, why don't you have music to it? I said, well, we didn't think of it.
It's good.